The words of the prophet Isaiah are familiar. Isaiah is probably the most frequently read prophet from the Old Testament. His words come up each year about this time in both our readings from Scripture and in the classic Handel's Messiah. Isaiah's words during Advent are words of comfort, words of reassurance. For us, these verses foreshadow the coming of Christ into the world, although Isaiah probably had no idea that his words spoke to anything more than the hope for the Messiah that the people of the time held. When Isaiah prophesied to the people, it was a time of great political uncertainty. In the several hundred years after the reign of King David, there was much more time of uncertainty than not. The world powers shifted. At one moment, power was in the hand of Assyria, and in the next, it was Babylon, it seemed. But these were the major players. At any given moment, one small group would overthrow another. It must have been very difficult for the average sheepherder to know who was in power at the time. Countries were not nearly as well organized as they are, especially here today. In many parts of the world, though, it seems that not much has changed. One king, ruler, president, and his ilk is in power for a period of time, and another group or faction gains power and support and overthrows the previous ruler. That was the state of the world to which Isaiah spoke. The people had not yet been sent into exile at the hands of the Babylonians, but it would not be long before this happened. For now, it was troublesome enough that the reign of King Hezekiah was tenuous. He had just narrowly averted overthrow by King Sennacherib of Assyria. An angel of the Lord struck down 185,000 of Sennacherib's warriors, and his own sons killed him with a sword. Next, Hezekiah had just narrowly escaped from a terminal illness. His death was averted because he prayed and reminded the Lord that he had been faithful and had done what was good in the Lord's sight. Because of this, the Lord granted Hezekiah another 15 years to live. The Lord had Isaiah, his prophet, assure Hezekiah. He said, "You will be delivered out of the hand of the king of Assyria." Then Hezekiah offered up a long prayer of thanksgiving, describing in great detail what the Lord had done for him. Hezekiah was so excited that he had narrowly escaped death that he must have put his good sense out of commission. The king of Babylon came for a visit. He had probably heard that Hezekiah was on death's doorstep, so he wanted to check out the situation in Judah. Maybe this would be an easy overthrow. Hezekiah, giddy with God's life-giving intervention, welcomes the king of Babylon as though he were Hezekiah's most trusted advisor. He gives King Merodach-Baladan a royal tour. He showed him the treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his whole armory, and all that was found in his storehouses. There is nothing, we are told, in all the realm that Hezekiah did not show the king of Babylon. Isaiah was not in when all this happened, and when he returned, he asked Hezekiah what had been going on. Who were these men, and what did they want? Hezekiah, still senseless with relief, tells Isaiah exactly what happened. He showed them the whole place, everything. We can just envision Isaiah shaking his head with disdain. This guy just got off, just barely skirted death, and he still doesn't get it. He doesn't understand that everything in this storehouse is God's, not his. Isaiah is called to prophesy once again, and he says to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your ancestors have stored up to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. He continues to tell Hezekiah that even his yet unborn children will be taken to Babylon. And rather than them being king's sons, they will be king's slaves. Hezekiah's euphoria will be no more. Still, Hezekiah refuses to listen. He is so self-absorbed that all he can think is there will be peace during his reign. Never mind what happens to my children or my children's children. And this is when Isaiah begins his great prophecy. He speaks words of comfort from God to the people of Judah, that she has suffered at the hands of an inept and even wicked rulers, and God now wishes to bring comfort to his people. We hear that a voice cries out, "In the wilderness prepare a way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." We hear these words, and our minds rush immediately to the words we heard today in our reading from Mark. The one who is said to fulfill these very words of Isaiah, the last prophet in the line of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptizer. The very one who is said to be the voice in the wilderness crying out, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Wow. Did Isaiah know that there would be this wild man who ate locust and wild honey and lived in the wilderness? Probably not. But he did know that there would be a voice calling for the people to return to God. That's a theme from the beginning of Genesis to the birth of Christ and beyond. Each time people take things in their own hands, they find themselves in deep trouble. Searching for a way to get out of the mess that they've made for themselves, they call out to God, and sometimes God calls out to them through a prophet. They repent and return to the Lord, and the cycle begins again. Over and over and over this cycle happens. Over and over and over, the people take control, act on behalf of God, decide they have the mind of God, refuse to follow the word of the Lord. They find themselves in dire straits, flailing without the help of the one who can actually provide help. Then they return, repent, and find themselves again in a right relationship. Then, unlike the angry mother who says to her misbehaving children, "Don't make me come down there," God says, "Maybe if I come live with you, live as one of you, you will finally understand. Maybe if I humble myself, come into the world, experience the world as you do, I can show you the way that leads to life. Maybe then you will get it." And so it was. Isaiah and the other prophets tried to speak on behalf of God to the people, to show them the way to live. John the Baptizer was the bridge between the prophets, pointing to Christ, who is the way, the Word. Can we hear the voice? Or are we like Hezekiah, so giddy with the news that we forget that we must follow the way? Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Those are words of comfort for God's people. They are words of great assurance for the flock. Are we listening to the words? Are we following the shepherd? Follow the shepherd. Listen to his words and be comforted. Amen.